We are two successful women. We operate and excel in male-dominated environments. We have checked all of the boxes that society says equals success. One of us has 17 years experience in tech, has created leaders across the country, and is currently pursuing an MBA. And if that wasn't enough, she even had 3 babies in one day.
I did.
One of us has a master's degree in clinical psychology, a doctorate in organizational leadership, completed a paper from the hospital bed after giving birth, and if that wasn't enough, wrote a number one international best-selling book in 30 days. But it's still not enough. It is still not enough.
We have also been asked to show ID to prove we live in our own neighborhoods. We have been ignored in meetings when we have been the senior executives at the table. We have been reduced to our physical appearances, even though our brains are far more impressive. These are real stories that often go unheard and untold. What happens when you succeed and you still have to prove yourself on the smallest levels every day? Who is listening to the Black woman? We are. And we need others to listen as well. It is time for real, genuine conversations. I am Candace Morgan, and she is Dr. Angela Anderson. Together, we are unfiltered and unapologetic. All we need is a mic.
Now, let's get the conversation started. Welcome to Just Be Real, Sis. Welcome back to Just Be Real, Sis. How you doing, sis?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I can't wait to have this conversation today because I know that our listeners are going to have lots of takeaways today.
I agree, and I bet that they've been told this at one point or another in their life.
So, have you ever been told to fake it until you make it?
Yes, I have.
Multiple times. We probably have heard that phrase so many times. Well, today we're going to look at that topic from two different viewpoints and see where you fall in between the two.
So I think it's interesting because not only have I probably at some point given that advice, I know that people have said it to me. And so the way that I've always looked at it is from the standpoint of if you visualize something for your life, then it'll come true, right? So even smiling, we have to tell people for a photo to say cheese. And that's a big smile. I have a go-to smile that I use for all my pictures. Yes.
We know.
So you've heard that. I've also heard to power pose, strike a pose before you get ready to speak or something, because, you know, you're giving yourself that extra boost of having that powerful posture.
The victory pose.
Yes, exactly. It even helps with your stress hormone. I know that also pretending that you know the answer to something, right? That happens.
Well,
wait. What about the way that we dress? You know, you dress up. They say when you feel bad, you dress up, you feel better. That's kind of like faking it.
Not really.
No,
it's deeper than that. I'll tell you my viewpoint in a minute. I really want to hear what you have to say about this. You pulled an article about this, actually.
I did, and that was some of the things that they were covering. Even, you know, when you think about visualizing something, if I want to live in this $1 million mansion, then I will drive over and find the $1 million mansion and drive through the neighborhood. And isn't that a form of faking it till you make it? I don't actually live in the neighborhood that I'm driving through and saying, that's going to be me one day. That's going to be my house.
No. So this is the difference. And this is the world that we live in today. I think what you're talking about is the law of attraction, which is amazing. I think that that's great. Sometimes you have to see things, you know, to kind of will them into your life. But what people will do instead of driving through the neighborhood to visualize what they'd like to work towards, they will park in front of that mansion, take some pictures and post in front of that mansion.
Oh, and hashtag it their new house.
Hashtag my new crib. No, it isn't. So that's the type of faking that we're talking about. And so our topic today is don't fake it, make it.
So what you're telling me is this whole notion of fake it till you make it, you don't think that that's helpful? We're going to just look at some of the pros and cons. Do you see any pros in that and why that can actually help a person?
Yeah, I think it can in certain instances, but I think it's clear that we differentiate between the two things. I think there are some things that you do have to somewhat practice. I'd use the word practice until you become better at them. You know, there's some people who are just born as introverts. And so in order to get more comfortable in social settings, sometimes you can't walk in with that personality. You have to put on a brave face. You have to speak up. So in that instance, that's not who you really are, but the more you do it, the better you become at it. So I think that would be a good example of how you can somewhat fake it or practice until you make it.
So what you're telling me is that faking it will never get you to the career success that you're really looking for, because faking it leaves out the most critical part of the equation, which is
the process.
Effort. Got it. Yeah. I can remember years ago hearing someone say, I think it was a professor, talent times effort equals skill, and skill times effort equals achievement. Mm. So the faking piece, there is no effort that's putting forth.
Right. So it's funny that you say that, because I was reading this article in Forbes, and it said that there are instances when faking it could be okay, but it's usually when it comes to things like your personality traits or things that you want to become better at, but never with your core skills or your talents. That's the area where you can't fake it. And the article goes on to say, you may be able to fake confidence, but you can never fake competence. Mm. And I said, whoa, yes.
So that takes time and energy. So you're telling me, instead of trying to look smart, I really need to go read some more.
Well, you know how I feel about reading.
Right.
You can never read too much. But exactly. You know, I think, especially now in this, we talk about social media all the time, and that it's easy to just put yourself out there as whatever it is that you want to be. But when people start to ask you about the process, that's where it changes, because
crickets.
Yes. Straight silence. Because what have you gone through in order to get to this place where you'd like to be? And so the competence piece, or the making it part, is that it's going through the process in order to be able to speak to the whole journey, not just the end of it.
So why do we even think that this is important? We were just having this conversation, and for me, I know being in a leadership role, when I interview people or when I'm looking to recruit new people, then I need for the real authentic person to show up, the person that I'm going to get. Because believe it or not, I've seen situations where people will get hired into a role and then someone else shows up at the job. Like,
I've never met you before.
Right.
Who are you?
So I'm all for putting your best foot forward.
Right.
But there has to be some balance in this whole let's fake it, and then you don't even know who you really are.
Exactly. So like for me, if I have someone sitting in front of me and let's say we're in a coaching session, one, if they're faking it, I'm going to know that they're faking it, because that's why I'm there. And so it's always interesting to me. This is the place where you're supposed to let everything come out. You're supposed to tell your just rock bottom truth. And even in that instance, there are people who still aren't comfortable enough to just share their full truth.
Why do you think that is? That's such an interesting topic, because, you know, that's where the healing is supposed to start. So how can you heal if you're not even willing to share who you really are? And is it because, and as a result of, because you've been faking it for so long?
Right. And so that's the thing. I had someone ask me, is it ever okay to fake it until you make it? And I said, well, it's okay to fake behaviors, but not competencies. And this is what I mean by that. If you're trying to grow in a certain area of your life, like I mentioned confidence, that's okay that you practice those things. But what isn't okay is when you fake things that are like core or central to who you are. And so I told them, I said, well, no, I don't think that that's always the best policy, because you can fake it so long that you forget that you were trying to make it, or you forget what making it looks like, and the faking becomes your reality. And so I think that's what happens. People just get stuck in the routine of faking it.
So do you think it's okay to fake certain things? Like the first thing that popped up in my mind was like a flat stomach. So the waist trainer.
Is that faking or visualization? Because
is it okay to wear the waist trainer?
No, and stop, pause. No, in all seriousness, sisters, we need you to be foundationally secure. There's never faking. Like, make sure you have it together. But I don't think that's faking. I think you're just trying to
put. Oh, it's faking.
It's faking.
Because if you take that waist trainer off.
The truth,
and I'm just
will
speaking, listen.
The truth is coming out.
For real. Just be real, sis.
Just be real, sis. No, I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, that's something that, well, then you got to get into a whole lot of stuff, sister, if you talk about waist trainers, because you got to talk about hair, lashes, the whole thing. And so is that faking it?
Well, if you didn't, I mean, if you had to go buy it.
If I don't recognize you when you take it out.
Right. Faking it. Like, hello, nice to meet you. Oh.
We've met several times before.
Oh, my God.
They recognize you without all that other stuff.
And it does get deeper because you think of, you know, and we're laughing about it, but you think of all the filters.
Right.
Right? So we live in a society where I think it's the norm.
To filter it.
For everything.
Everything. I think that's a good point. And we didn't even know what a filter was. Think about this. This is something that has recently come into that space. We just had to take what was in front of the camera and that was it.
The funniest story, we have so many, but I remember for you guys, a sister posted a picture of me and I didn't like it. And I called her and I said, hey, listen, you need to pull that down. And she said, it's your face. It's like, okay,
well,
bye.
This is the thing. It is your face. And like, we just, all of these filters and stickers and smiley faces and all of these things that we put on our pictures as opposed to just living in who we are, right?
But we live in a really PC climate. You
That's
know, true. Every person that you talk to, they're super fragile. You know, candor is just non-existent. Mm-hmm. You really can't have a conversation with a person without guarding your words, making sure that everything that you say doesn't offend them.
Well, that's why we're doing this. Because they can just turn it off. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But I think...
No, that is an option.
It is an option, but we want you to listen and share and subscribe. But no, the real thing is this. If we don't have conversations like that, then what? If we don't really get to the bottom of what's important.
Well, so then we just show up as plastic people.
Yeah.
There's no heart involved. There's no genuine connections. Like we had a conversation with some people last week, and I remember thinking, how often do people take the time to have genuine connections and conversations where, you know, they really care enough about that person and what's going on with them, and these people were complete strangers,
mm-hmm.
Versus just put your head down on your phone and not even look the other person's way.
We should tell the story of what happened before we taped the other show. So I'll tell you this observation. Whenever sister and I are in a room, it doesn't matter who's there, we're going to address the people in the room. We're going to engage and have a conversation. And we've learned so many things about people by doing that. But today we met the most fascinating gentleman who has several talents. And when you walked in the room, you said, we just had a conversation with two ladies and we talked for several minutes. But when you came in, you sat down and you were looking at your phone. And he was a younger guy, so she said, you may miss out on the opportunity to connect with people in a genuine way in the room just because you're more connected to your device. And he said, oh. And what did we learn about him after that?
He had several different talents. He was a fireman. He was a rapper. He was an entrepreneur. What else? It was
so many things.
It was so many. A clothing line.
A trucking company. Like, he had so many different things that he was involved in. We never would have learned that about him had we not brought it to his attention. So hopefully, from this point on, he will never walk into a room and not engage the people that are there.
And it costs, you know, nothing to really just have a conversation, mm-hmm. Get to know people. I think the thing that is, what we do is we keep people from hiding behind their screens. Because oftentimes, they're afraid of what you may see or what you may get.
But you know what? Even when we see it, it's okay. How many times do we tell people it's okay to just be? Because they'll pull that mask off or they'll let their guard down. And that's when they really connect, is at that point when we just have a conversation without all of the other things clouding, right? That's happened to us how many times?
All the time.
All the time. So we're officially giving you all permission to let your guard down and have real conversations, because that's why we're doing this, to create the space to do that.
I think it's interesting how many people come up to us and say, hey, you know, why the name Just Be Real, Sis? And I think for us, and we were even asked this earlier today in a different interview, The question was, what did you reveal about yourselves when you decided to start to do this? And one thing I will say for sure is that you can't fake it. You have to be honest because you're putting yourself out there,
right,
and have the discussion with whoever, you know, feels like having it with you at that moment, because we named it Just Be Real Sis to be intentional behind, we will stay honest, we will stay transparent, we will not fake it.
Exactly.
Because there's some traps that you can fall into if that's the only way that you ever show up, is by faking it along the way. So by us doing this, we won't be able to fall into that.
Right. Well, we're intentional about avoiding those traps. So one of the big ones that comes up all the time, we hear people talk about imposter syndrome.
We talked about that in our last episode.
We did. And so when people talk about imposter syndrome, you may have all of these great qualities, but then it gets to the point to where you don't even believe it about yourself. Or you faked it so much that maybe you are an imposter because you haven't necessarily done the work in order to get to the level where you are.
What are some other traps that you see people fall in? So for our listeners, do go back and listen to A Guise of Perfection.
Oh, yes.
That is, we really, so we address the imposter syndrome, but it does keep coming up. What are some other things that you've seen?
Well, I've had people say that, and this was a really honest moment I had with the young lady, and she said that it got to a point to where she started to really believe her own hype. Not in a confidence way, but in a way where she felt like she couldn't be challenged.
Oh, wow.
Or that being challenged was an insult to her. And so I think if you fake it or you put yourself in this place where you just start to think so highly of yourself, then it removes the ability for you to be coachable, and that's dangerous.
And you surround yourself with people that are not willing to give you honest feedback.
Yes. So do you really want a group of yes people around you, or do you want people that really tell you the truth?
So how is that not a contradiction to one of our other episodes, Clap for Your Damn Self, where we talk about having the confidence and making sure that, you know, you let people know the things that you're doing, especially in the workplace, because at some point that can impact your overall salary. What's the difference there?
Well, the difference is with that, you're celebrating things that actually happened.
Oh, got it. So that's where the faking becomes the problem.
Exactly.
Understood.
But if you're putting on this guise, like we talked about the guise of perfection, that's not really who you are. So you're celebrating something that's not rooted and based in truth. That's problematic. Always celebrate the authentic wins, for sure. It encourages other people to do the same.
I think this is another trap. It's the type of people that you attract to you.
Mm.
You look up and you wonder, where did all these people come from? Mm-hmm. How is this my new circle? Well, who's this person that you've been?
That's right. You've lost yourself. And so not only do you not recognize the people around you, you don't recognize yourself anymore.
That has to be exhausting.
It has to be not only exhausting, but a certain level of disappointment in that space, because it can go on so long to where you don't even recognize yourself anymore. That's why we're talking about these traps. And I can't tell you how freeing it is to just operate in truth. It gives people permission and this level of comfort to do the same. And the conversations are so different when you do that, when everybody just kind of gets out of their own way and just has a real conversation, a real exchange.
Because what I've found is that people are going through some of the same struggles that I'm going through.
Oh, yeah.
And what that conversation does is it lets them know you're not alone.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's one of the big things of the imposter syndrome, is that you think you're the only one who feels that way. That level of self-doubt, that level of I'm not good enough, or everybody else in the room has it all together and I don't. So those conversations reduce those feelings, because you understand that, like you said, there's someone that's experiencing the same thing. You just had the courage to admit it.
So we have to stop with this, you know, look at me. I want to look successful and actually attempt to be successful. Look at us.
Stop. No, no, no. I need you to stop. Because that was, say it again, because you just brushed past that.
I just think that so many people, it is more important for them to make sure that they look successful than to actually be successful. And we are more concerned with what others think and getting validation from them than what we think of ourselves.
Mm. Mm. And what happens? Because the way or the expectations of other people change minute by minute. And so if you're not confident in who you are If you're not certain about what your expectations are for yourself, you set up this pattern where you're constantly trying to prove yourself to people that'll change with the weather.
Mm.
That's frustrating. Have you seen people who live their lives just for the approval of other people? Are they really happy?
That's most people. And I mean, it could be from, you know, childhood, just trying to live up to the standards and expectations of your parents. It could be your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think that that's a funny one where, you know, you have a group of friends and maybe you're just in different places in your life financially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you have to keep up with what they're doing instead of just having that real conversation. Listen, I can't do brunch again today.
This week.
I can't.
Right.
Or, you know, that doesn't interest me anymore,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be. And so it's tough. And, you know, the longer you do it, I think, you know, back to those traps, you really fall into a place. And I hope that, I would hate to say a place of no return. I hope, like, listening to this episode and realizing that there is so much freedom and not having to worry about all that and fake it all the time.
Right. Well, we've had someone ask us, why would you do that? Like, why would you be so honest about what's going on in your life? And our response was almost the same at the same time. Why wouldn't we? Because if we really want to have change, or if we want to have impact, it's got to be rooted and grounded in something that's real.
Mm.
Otherwise, we're wasting time. So how do we avoid these traps? Because, you know, we always have to give a takeaway. How do we avoid these traps? Well, one of the first things, and this is a simple one, and this also came from the Forbes article, Sister, it said, if it feels like a lie, don't do it.
That's good.
And you know if it's the truth or if it's not. So,
and I know when someone's lying to me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an insult. It says so much about what you think of yourself, because now what you've done, you've made me more important than I should be, because you feel the need to have to lie to me about something. Right. I don't want you to lie to me.
Do you tell them that you know?
I had a situation one time with a young lady, and I asked her, I said, you don't like me, do you? And she said, I really don't. And I said, well, I don't really like you either. And so we became the closest of friends. Seriously. And that was years ago. And people would be shocked by that conversation. But we became the closest of friends because we weren't getting along. There were just little things. We just, you know, two different backgrounds. You know, originally I thought I would never hang out with this person. But as we got to know one another, it really took everything else out, kind of laid it on the table. We became really good friends. But we had to have a baseline. We had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But neither one of us was willing to walk in there and fake it for each other.
Exactly.
So do you think that's too honest for some people? This young lady, she lives in Chicago now, and we communicate all the time. And I'm not asking for other people just to go out there and tell people if they like them or not.
I don't like you.
Yes.
Can't keep it that real.
that's where it comes from. Yeah. Me wanting to do the exact opposite of making sure that I'm not faking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there has to be some balance in there. And again, like I said, you know, I've matured over time. This was many years ago. But I still think it's important to let people know where they stand with you and where you stand with them. Do you agree with that?
Oh, wholeheartedly. Because I think, how many times or how much time do we waste having conversations that don't matter?
Mm.
And what's the point in doing that? I mean, I think you have to kind of choose your battles. You can't just go out, you know, blazing with, because some people can't handle, you know, that level of truth. So you have to choose your moments and decide how you deliver the truth. But I think it always has to be that.
But you bring up a really good point, because even, you know, with this young lady, we would have wasted so much time coming in and being around each other and pretending.
Right.
So we removed that on the front end. And again, I'm not asking for every person to take that same approach. To your point, some people just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding the people that you're dealing with is also important.
So when you said that, it just made me think of something else that I think is really important. Make sure that you are holding your truth in an honorable way, that you're not using your truth to harm other people. Like you said, like that conversation that you had with her, she could hear that. She could receive that from you, and you could receive it from her, and you were able to move beyond that moment and then find something that you aligned on and have a successful friendship. So the truth doesn't mean you can be so honest that you're hurting other people. You still need to be, you know, gentle, I think, in some regards, and considerate of how other people feel, but always honest.
Let's debate that for a second. So
here we go.
You know, and I really, it's for my own understanding.
Right.
You know, I think that's part of the problem. Is we want to put a bow, we want to put a flower, and I get it. You get more with honey. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And the goal is to never weaponize or harm, ever.
Right.
And you definitely have to know what mental space people are in. But I think we do a lot of tiptoeing. We do a lot of tiptoeing. And we just can't get better that way. And mm-hmm. that's fine. We can live in a society where we all tell partial truths and we only tell you just enough. But you said earlier, you know, do you want to be surrounded by a bunch of yes people? And if you know that I'm coming from a good place and you know me, because I'm not suggesting that you do this on the very front end of meeting a person. But if you've been, you know, having conversations, you've been in relations, then at what point is it okay to be honest?
Different.
Because
yeah, it's different. You've established time with this person and they know more of the background of who you are. So I guess I'm thinking that I'm putting my therapist hat on, right? And I know that just from day-to-day interactions, and you do too, because you run into it all the time, that people are just so fragile sometimes. So it's not to say that you have to just handle people with kid gloves, but just be mindful that everybody is not at the same place in their ability to accept the truth.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had a young lady to tell me, she said, you know, it's just like telling a person that's been writing with their left hand to go write with the right hand. Just do it. It's just that easy.
Right.
She's like, it's not that easy. So I definitely understand where you're coming from on that.
So one of the major ways to avoid the trap of faking it is that you challenge your negative thoughts and look for evidence to prove yourself wrong. So I'll give you an example. A sister and I were having a conversation with some women that we literally had just met in that moment. And because I guess we're in this space where we operate in truth, people feel very comfortable sharing their stories with us. And so we were in the room with a couple of ladies, and one of the ladies decided to share that oftentimes it's hard for her to feel confident about what she brings to our organization because she works with a lot of people who have advanced degrees and she never finished college, but she's in a position of influence in the organization. And so immediately we said, well, what's your influence? Because it isn't necessarily about the degrees that you have. I mean, that's important, but what do you bring to the organization and to that team? And do you feel like your contribution is valuable? And so in that moment, she was able to really question the negative thoughts that she had been having about her ability and how she showed up in the room. She felt like she didn't belong there.
And she's the face of that organization. And we explained to her that just by meeting her, I wanted to find out more
exactly.
about what she does and stay connected. And so challenging the negative thoughts are so important. And then surrounding yourself with the people that will remind you of that.
And won't allow you to go down that slippery slope of woe is me. We don't dwell there. We don't dwell there at all. So it was really a powerful moment for us and for her because I think she'll see things differently. And she even said that. You know, this is what I needed. And so sometimes, back to your point about paying attention to the people in the room with you, had we not opened ourselves up or engaged in that conversation, we never would have learned that. We never would have had that experience with her. So hopefully, when she walks into her organization now, she goes in with a renewed sense of confidence that it isn't about how many pieces of paper you have your name on, but it's do you work hard? Do you care about your people? Do you have influence in the organization? Is the organization better because you're there? Those are the things that matter most.
So challenge your negative thoughts.
Challenge your negative thoughts.
Stop hiding in your truth because other people may have gone through the same thing or going through the same thing. Let me ask you about that. When you start to tell your truth mm-hmm. and you really start to unpack your life story, mm-hmm. what about all the other people that, you know, you mentioned earlier about harming? What about the people that are part of your story and you're afraid that by telling your truth, it's also telling their truth and they may not be ready? How do you handle that?
So I think it's important that when you share your truth, you have to make sure, I like to say, that you leave everyone's dignity intact. So you never want to reveal anything that's going to put that person in a place where they have to answer for something that maybe they're not ready for. So you can include that they're a part of the story without necessarily revealing something that could be potentially harmful. Is that what you're saying? Asking?
Right.
Yeah. So just tell your story. They're a player in the story, so you have to include them, but just be mindful of how your words will impact.
Because I know I have some things about me personally, maybe I'll save it for another episode, that I really want to share because I know the power in that. But I also do not want to hurt any, you know, anyone in my life because of my story.
Right. Well, that's something that you have to evaluate. You know, how do I live in my truth, but still not put other people in a place where I force them into theirs?
That's good. I know me doing this podcast, like I mentioned earlier, it's really making me have to show up and self-reflect on so many things.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully that's the same with our listeners, that it's putting them in a place where they're doing the same thing, because that's where all the growth happens, in those periods of self-reflection. So, you know, I'm glad that you said that. Like, one of the other points, it says, you know, congratulate yourself when you walk in your truth, because that's tough. That's not always the easiest thing to do. Like you said, there's so many other factors to contribute to that. Like what happens when it impacts other people. And so when people make the decision to own their stories or walk in their truth, that's a big deal.
Or will people still like me? Will they still think I'm a good friend? Well, you know, there's so many questions, and it just comes from a place of fear.
Right. Well, you know how I feel about that.
Right.
You just have to get over it. You just have to put it out there. And once you do, I think the weight that comes off when people walk in their truth, it's liberating. So as always, you know, we end every episode with tips that you can take away and apply right away. So tip number one,
don't fake it, make it.
Tip number two, own your truth.
And tip number three, when you tell your truth, be mindful of how it impacts others.
Don't forget to subscribe and share so we can grow this movement. If you have show ideas or would like to be considered as a special guest, you can email us at justberealsis@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at justberealsis. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. As always, remember to serve first, stay encouraged, be kind, and just be real, sis.